Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Adi Leela, chapter 15, verse 11 through 21. This is the story of Vishwarup Sannyas. Vishwarup was the elder brother of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tabe misha Vishwarupera dekiya yavan kanya chahi vivaha dite karile naman. Jagannath Mishra saw that his son Vishwarupa was growing up. He was becoming a young man, yovan. So then he decided that it was time to find a girl and arrange a marriage ceremony for him. Vivaha. Vishwarupa Shunigara Charipalaila Sanyasa Kariyatirta Karibare Gela. When Vishwarupa heard this, he immediately left home. Gar Chordye. In Bengali, you say Chari. Gara Chari Palaila. As soon as he heard that his father had plans, marriage plans for him, he was gone. He was out of the house. He went away to accept sannyas and travel from one place of pilgrimage to another. Sannyas Kariyatirtha Karibhari Gela. There are four stages of life. The Vedas have so much division, so much scientific division of society and ashrams. There's four categories of brahmacharis, there's four categories of grihasthas, there's four categories of vanapras, there's four categories of sannyas. Four stages. The first stage of sannyas is called kuti chak. Chak or ak means I, and kuti means kutir or house, small house. And this stage of sannyas, a man leaves his house and family and wife and children. But he doesn't go very far away. He goes to the edge of town, on the border between the town and the forest. And he makes a small house there. And it has one window, a small window in it. And he sits in that house and he studies Shastra. And he performs Ekadasi Brat, another Vratas to purify his existence, and he studies Shastras to strengthen his mind and strengthen his intelligence so that his conviction can become very firm and his determination can become very strong to once and for all give up the entanglement of family life. However, living in this small house, he has to eat, drink, but he's too busy doing austerity and study to cook meals or to beg madhukari. So what happens is, and he still has some attachment to his family. His family members come every day, not his wife too much, but his children will come and bring a tiffin. His wife may prepare it, but they'll bring a tiffin, they'll leave it outside the door. And they'll say, Papa, Papaji, just like our Chokidar's children, they come in the morning with his breakfast, because he stays the night here. And they say, Papaji, Papaji. And whatever he's doing, he drops whatever he's doing, and he runs to get his breakfast. And moreover, he likes to hear their little voices. Papaji. It sounds like nectar to his ears. Because he's attached. That's natural. So then the children, they come to the outside the kuti and they say, Papaji, Papaji, bog, bog, bog lelo. So he waits till they're gone, he opens the door, he takes the tiffin, he eats it, then he leaves it outside. And he passes his time like this. Then one day, he's ready to enter the second stage of sannyas. It's called Bahudak. Baho means many and Udaka means rivers. So one day, the children come out with the tiffin. They see the door of the kutir open. And they look inside the kutir and they see nothing. No saman, no shoes, no clothes, nothing. No notice, no letter, no goodbye letter, nothing. They say, oh, Papaji Chilega. Papaji gone away. So now Papaji travels from one holy tirtha to another. Bahudaka means that he travels from one holy river to another. Most of the sacred rivers of India, there are so many sacred places also there. They go together. Tirtha Nadi, Tirtha Stan. So we have Jamuna, Ganga, Godavari, Kaveri, Sindhu, like this. Om Ganga, Cha Yamuna Cheva, Saraswati, Narmada, Sindhu, Kaveri, like this. So he travels to Mathura, he travels to Haridwar, Gangotri, Devprayag, Allahabad, Ujjain, all these holy places on the banks of various rivers. And there he associates with devotees, and he becomes more and more purified, dedicated, and convinced about his life's mission, which is to absorb himself in the service of God, if he's a Vaishnava sannyas. So here, Visharup, he was immediately on the second stage, because he was already, even though he's in the house, he was already on the stage of Kutichak, because he was sitting in his house with his mother, Shachi, and Jagannath, but he was looking out the window and he was thinking, when will I leave this place? When will I renounce this place? So when the opportunity came and his father brought up the topic of marriage, he said, oh, now it's time to go. I better get out of here fast and lickety-split, as they say in some parts of the world. So that was equivalent to Kutichak in one sense, because he was living at home, but he was already quite detached. And he wasn't married either, he was brahmachari. So now he's leaving, and it says that he's going to Sanyas Kariya Tirtha Karibare Gela. He went away to visit different holy places. He went away to accept sannyas and travel from one holy place to another. The traveling from one place of pilgrimage to another is called Bahudak. Then the third category of sannyas, which we have in ISKCON mostly, so many like this, is called Paribrajak. Brajak means to go. Sarvadharman Prityaja Mame Kam Sharanam Braja. Come to me, or go take shelter of me, Braja. So Pari means to go here and there and all over the place. Paribrajak. So Paribrajak is a sannyasi. He doesn't stick to the holy rivers and the tirthas. He goes anywhere and anywhere. He travels widely and he preaches the message of Godhead, the Krishna conception. He's not attached, because now he feels strong. He can fight. He can fly. He doesn't feel weak or any doubts. So it's Paribrajak. Then the last stage of sannyas is called Paramahams. Paramahams means he's like a swan. He can take nectar from anywhere. In the Paribrajak stage, one preaches. He goes here and there, mostly holy places, but other places also. And he preaches to pious people, religious people. The Kutichak studies and performs austerities. The Bahudak sannyasi, he also studies and performs austerities. But the addition is that he travels to different tirthas and holy places. He gets his sea legs. He gets his experience. Well, all the while he gets experience in detachment and dependence on God. Because when you travel alone, you have to depend on God. It's very dangerous. At least when this book was written. 500 years ago, there were no Rajdhani. There was no airplanes. So there was a very, very ferocious and dangerous to travel here and there, because India was full of jungles. Especially North India, South India. So they had to become fearless. It means they had to learn absolute dependence on God, which is a very important quality of surrender, Sharanagati. But they wouldn't really tackle, they would only preach to a few pious people as Paribrajaks. They wouldn't tackle any hard nuts, any difficult guys. they would avoid those heavy opposition. But when you become Paramahamsa, then they travel widely, go anywhere, and they also study and perform austerities, but not so much required, because they're very pure at this stage, Paramahamsa. At this stage, then they can preach to anyone. They can convert Buddhists into Vaishnavas, or atheists into Vaishnavas, or Mlechas and Yavanas into Vaishnavas. They can even convert Jagai Madhai, or wholesale Jagai Madhais. Like all the Jagais in Russia, they can convert. And all the Madhais in France and England and Iran and America, they can convert them. Because they are like a swan. A swan swims in the water. So they swim in this world. It's called Bhavasagar, the ocean of material existence. The great devotees, they swim in this ocean of material existence. But like, they're not just swimming like a fish or a crocodile, eating the smaller fish. Jivo jivasya jivanam. But the great Premi Bhaktas, the Paramahamsa Vaishnavas, they're like a special creature called swan, Hansa. And the feature, speciality of the Hamsa, he swims around in the water, in the waters of the material world, Bhavasagar, ocean of material existence. But he knows how to take the essence. He knows how to extract the essence. It's called Bhavasaragrahi, that he is their essence seekers. They have some phenomenon. They say that a swan, Paramahamsa or swan, if you put some milk inside water, then he can separate the milk from the water. So if he came to Shamakun, if this swan came to Shamakun yesterday, he could have drank a lot of milk, because the Kirsagar was an elation over the Avrabhava of Shamakun and Radhakun. And being in that agitated, excited condition, then the springs in the bottom of Shamakun that are coming from the Kirsagar, they opened up. When they opened up, so much milk went up like this, like a jet. It came up like a jet very forcefully from the bottom and hit the surface and spread out. It panned out or spread out at the surface. So there's big patches of white milk all over the Shamakun yesterday. You saw? So that would be the ideal place for a swan. He could land in Shamakun and drink all that milk and leave the water. Process out the milk and leave the water. Take the nectar, the essence. So the pure devotee Paramahamsa, he meets anyone. He meets atheists and he extracts bhakti from their heart. He meets the Buddhists and the hippies and the Gnostics and the Pashandis. And he has the power, the purity and the power to bring Krishna out of their hearts, extract the essence. Because this is the essence of one's very existence. Underneath all the coverings, underneath all the doubts, underneath all the misconceptions and misapplied ideas, is the actual pure conception of Krishna consciousness. It's called the Krishna connection. So the pure devotee helps one attain connection with Krishna. So this is a little bit about sannyas. Because Vishrup, he was accepting this sannyas and traveling in the Udak stage. Shuni Shachi Mishrat Duki Halaman Tabe Prabhu Mata Pitar Kaila Ashwasan. When Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra heard of the departure of their elder son Vishwarup, they were very unhappy. But Lord Chaitanya tried to console them. Mbala Haila Vishwarupa Sanyasa Karila Pitrikula Matrikula Dui Udarila. The Lord said, "My dear mother and father, it is very good that Vishwarup has accepted sannyas order, for thus he has delivered both his father's family and his mother's family." So they were seeing it was very bad. The mother and father were seeing it was very bad. Our son has joined the Hare Krishna temple. It was very bad. And then someone comes and says, "No, it's very good. It's actually very good. Because by doing this, he will deliver your family, the wife's family and the husband's family." It says that if someone becomes a devotee, just a devotee, he's not even Shuddha Bhakta, he's just a devotee, he can deliver 14 generations of his family. He becomes a devotee, he does some devotion, he doesn't attain perfection, and he dies, and he has to take birth again. Because he is practicing devotion and trying sincerely, Krishna rewards him by liberating 7 generations of his ancestors. What does that mean? That means that generations of his ancestors may be stuck up on Pitri Loka, rotating in different hells, Yamapuri, and suffering tremendously. But by the influence or prabhav of this devotee, which isn't even, he's not even very advanced, they transfer that, a lot of their punya, like 7%, one-seventh or whatever, and it goes to that Yamapuri, the hellish place where their ancestors are, and then they become liberated, they get free. This is a blessing. If they die in a relatively advanced state of Krishna consciousness, then 21 generations of their ancestors get free or liberated. If they die in 100% Krishna consciousness, then 100 generations of their ancestors get liberated. So these are the different figures. You often read these in scriptures. You must have seen 14, 21, and 100. So it's a good thing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling, listen, mother and father, it's a good thing. He took sannyas. He's going to benefit you. There's a phrase that says, what is the value of a family that's just ordinary? But if in your family one person becomes a devotee, that's a great credit for your family. That person is as valuable as one sandalwood tree in a forest. A sandalwood tree is very valuable because a pure sandalwood tree is so fragrant that any trees that are growing near it, they pick up the fragrance. So if someone becomes a devotee in the family, it's considered that he's like a sandalwood tree appearing in the family. It's a great blessing for the family because to have a devotee in the family means to have a sandalwood tree. So therefore, the fragrance of his fame, name and fame, they spread throughout the entire dynasty. So that's a great benediction for one's dynasty, is to become a pure devotee. Although the parents say, oh no, you became a Hare Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to tell this, that it's really great. Why are you so uptight about it? Next verse. Amita karibe tama donhara sevan shunya santushta haila pita mataragman. Mahaprabhu assured his parents that he would serve them, and thus the minds of his father and mother were satisfied. As a father and mother, they're expecting that their eldest son will take care of them. It's a little bit, of course, selfish, but that's their idea, that, listen, we help this little guy get on his 2 feet. We helped him get up and running for 25 years. And when we're retiring, we can hope that he will also help us. I don't know about getting up on our feet and running, but at least he can help us keep walking through our old age. So this is kind of a give and a take situation. Basically, families are all about business. And sometimes they even say family business. I have family business. Mr. Employer, I have to take off today. I have some family business. They use this phrase because that's all it is business. I sell my product to you and you buy it and I make a profit. And you sell your product to me, I buy it and you make a profit. So it's a business arrangement. There's no real love there. So the parents do business with their children. Profit and loss business. Say, listen, I'm going to invest in you, but I'm going to draw some profit from you. I'm making fixed deposit now for 20 years. I'm investing in you, but I expect to cash in 20 years from now and get some profit. So this is the idea. So the family business means business. That's why they use the term. Oh, I have some family business. So the relationships between husbands and wives and parents and children is business. So Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata, they were worried because their eldest son Vishrup took sannyas. He left home and took sannyas. So Nimai Pandit, he was trying to comfort them and solace them. Listen, it's all right, don't worry. Your eldest son, he gave up his responsibility and he took sannyas. But I will fulfill his role. Although I'm the youngest son, I will take care of you, so don't worry. Because they were somewhat disturbed. Then it says, Egdina Naivadeya Tambula Kariya Bumite Padi Prabhu et Achetanahana. One day Mahaprabhu ate betel nuts offered to the deity, but they acted as an intoxicant, and he fell down on the ground unconscious. Bhumite Padila. I don't know, maybe 500 years ago they had really powerful betel nuts. Personally, I never ate a betel nut, but I have some devotee friends that have eaten them, and even some god brothers that eat them. And then I said, what's it like? Because they eat them. And when they go to a temple, they go to Radharaman, and they get the pan or the tambul. I say, what is it like? Do you really get, like, buzzed off or what? You know? He said, no, you don't get it. It's nothing. It's like eating hajmol or, you know, it's nothing. You eat it, you feel like some fresh flavor in your mouth, and you just kind of feel, you know, like a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or something. It's nothing. But somehow, I guess there's not much. In Kali Yuga, everything, the power has gone down. So I guess betel nut in Kali Yuga doesn't have that shakti that it used to have. But it says, Naivedya Tambul Kaya. Naivedya means that the small portions of Mahaprasad that are offered to the deity. Naivedya includes a little sandesh, a little pan, or some flowers, or some chandan, or some little oil. Sometimes they offer fragrant oil and some cotton Q-tip type thing. This is called Naivedya. And these things can be taken, generally accepted. But some things are not forbidden. I mean, not permitted. So before this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking this betel nut. This is a standard. You see in Vrindavan, so many Brahmins, especially in Radhakund, I mean, they take betel like anything. They're always, teeth are always red, and they're always like, you know. Hi, bro, huh? Huh? Like I make a joke in Delhi, I say, you know, actually, there's a new language that's been introduced by the Agarwals. The Agarwal community, the businessmen of India, they've introduced a new language. Generally, the basic languages of India, there's English, then there's like Hindi Bhasha, Braj Bhasha, Bangla Bhasha, but there's also Pan Bhasha. Pan Bhasha. Bhasha means language. So people say, what is this Pan Bhasha? I say, you don't know Pan Bhasha? This guy comes every day and gives class. Radhakund, check this guy out. He hangs upside down and speaks to Bhagavatam. He speaks the glories of Radharani. And he comes and says, listen, you don't know what you're talking about? Listen, I'm going to tell them some good stuff. He has a good time. So I tell him there's another new language in India that's been popularized by the businessmen, the Baniyas, the Agrawal community. It's called Pan Bhasha. And they said, what is that? I said, you never heard? You go in Vrindavan, or you go in an Agrawal shop, and he has a big wad of pan in his cheek. And then you go in the shop, and he says, huh, whoa, 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 huh, got it, right? Kurta, huh? And so you pick out a kurta and a dhoti and say, how much? So this is Pan Bhasha. So then everybody laughs, because it's a good joke. We don't know what the hell he's saying. Or you're sitting there waiting for him to pay attention to you to buy something, and he gets on the phone. He's talking on the phone. And you know, what is he saying? But he knows everything the other guy is saying, and the other Agarwal on the other side. And they both are conveying. And then when he turns to talk to you, he starts going, whoa, and I say, you know, what are you talking? He says, wait a minute. He goes, boink. And he's this huge red, you know, like gob or whatever you call it, comes out and splatters across the wall, you know. And he says, may I help you? So Mahaprabhu, he ate some, I mean, he was a young man because he hadn't taken sannyas yet. He was still living at home. In fact, actually, when Vishrup took sannyas, he was about 10 years old. So he's a young boy. And he ate some Mahaprasad from their Thakur deities, and then he fell on the ground, unconscious. So that was like white lightning or whatever they call it. Moonshine. Prabhupada says in the purport, betel nuts are an intoxicant, and therefore the regulative principles prohibit eating them. Mahaprabhu's pastime of fainting after eating betel nuts is a solid instruction to all of us that one should not touch betel nuts, even those offered to Vishnu, just as one should not touch grains on Ekadasi day. Of course, Mahaprabhu's fainting had a particular purpose. As the personality of Godhead, he can do whatever he likes and eat whatever he wants, but we should not imitate his pastimes. So this is a very firm instruction that Prabhupada is giving all of us, his followers. He says this is solid instruction. Though some instructions may be liquid. They kind of like, yeah, like goes this way or that way. Because the nature of liquid or water, it takes the shape of whatever container you put it in. You put it in a square box, it becomes square water. You put it in a round thing, it looks round. And you put it in a long cylinder, it looks like a long cylinder of water. So a liquid instruction means you hear the instruction and it goes in your ears and you give it whatever shape you want. You give it whatever shape you want. Put your own English into it. And this is pretty common. But if it's a solid instruction, you can't give it whatever shape you want. The shape is already cast. That's the nature of the election of water. It takes whatever shape it's put into. But Prabhupada is specializing or specifying that this instruction is solid. And another thing about solid, it's heavy. Something that's solid has mass. It occupies space and time, length, width, and depth. That's the characteristic of a solid. So it also has some space and has some weight. So it's weighty, it's heavy, it's meaningful, it's valuable, it's important, it's for us. And he says that we should follow this. So we should take heed and do the needful. Aste vyaste. This is nice. Aste, aste. You ever ride in the rickshaws in Bengal? You say aste, aste. Aste vyaste, pita mata, muke dilapani, susta hana kahe prabhu, apurva kahini. After his mother and father sprinkled water on his mouth with great haste, the Lord revived and said something wonderful they had never heard before. So they revived him by throwing water on him. Just like in the temples, sometimes when the devotees are chanting japa, they fall asleep. Not sometimes, but a lot of times. Almost every day sometimes. Especially new devotees or old devotees that are tired. And they stay up all night or whatever. Or they stay up all night with the Bahulastami program. So they may fall asleep. Even giving class, they may fall asleep. So in some temples, they have these spray bottles. I remember in L.A. in 75, there was Jayatirtha was there. I needed this bottle of water for it. Sometimes you spray the plants with them. And you can adjust the nozzle on that bottle so it shoots a very fine stream of water and a long distance, especially if it's made in America. They make them in India, but they go about 2 feet or something. In America, they go about 20 feet, like a squirt gun, or like a pitchkari, like holy. So, you know, I've seen some devotees that are chanting japa, and he sits there. He was quite a yogi type, Jayatirthi, very straight sitting. Maybe he did yoga, I don't know. Looked like yogi. And he would sit there and he'd chant his japa, and in one hand he'd have his squirt gun, I mean his sprayer. So devotees were a little nervous. He said, oh my God, you know, he's got this thing, you know. So they're chanting Hare Krishna, but Nidra has her ways. So Nidra has to get a few winks. So she was blessed that she could sleep during Bhagavatam class. Whenever it's spoken, she could sleep there in some devotees' bodies. And also japa, apparently. So some devotees would start to nod out, then and you see the stream of water come by, you know, by your face to the devotee next to you, and it's boom, you know, I wasn't sleeping. And the first thing they say when they wake up is, I wasn't sleeping. They're totally asleep, right? They're totally asleep. And then the water wakes up and they say, hey, I wasn't sleeping. So what do they mean when they say, I wasn't sleeping? They mean to say, my ego was not sleeping. My ego, my sense of pride. And that's what they're trying to show. Oh, you insulted me. Then, so ego never sleeps, even though the body sleeps, right? So I wasn't sleeping. He's like, you know, insulted you. So water has its ways of waking a person up. In Nectar Devotion, we hear how another more interesting pastime about water and staying awake, that when Krishna left Vrindavan with Akrura on his chariot on that fateful day in February. And the gopis, you know, the last thing they cried out, Govinda Damo Dharamadaveti, three very important words in Sankirtan. And then they fainted. And then from that day forward, they were crying and crying and crying. And then Prabhupada is explaining in Nectar Devotion that when the face is covered with tears, it is impossible to fall asleep. So this water has an effect to wake one up. The gopis were crying and crying, and so they couldn't sleep because their faces were being continually washed with a fountain of tears of separation from their Lord Krishna, Govinda Damodar. And in this way, they couldn't fall asleep. So Mahaprabhu, he fell unconscious from eating the betel nut as a young boy, Nimai Pandit. And then the parents, they sprinkled water on his face and he woke up. And in that brief moment of his unconscious state due to intoxication from the betel nut, or at least apparently from the betel nut, he told them he saw something amazing. He had a quickie dream, very quick dream. And he told his parents what he said. He said, Heta haite visharupa, more lana gila, sanyasa karahatumi, amare kahila. And I don't think the parents are going to appreciate this. Nimai Pandit said, I saw my brother Vishwarup. He took me away from here and he requested me to accept sannyas. And then now Lord Chaitanya, Nimai has just fainted from eating betel nut and been revived. Now when he gives this news to Jagannath Mishra and his mother, then they're going to faint. Oh no, one son left and now another son. Amikahi amara anata pitamata, ami balaka sanyasa kiva janikata. It says, then Lord Chaitanya is replying or telling more to his mother and father what he spoke to his brother in the dream. My brother asked me to take me away from here and said, take sannyas. And what I said, oh, Vishwarup, I have my helpless father and mother. I'm also only a child. What do I know about the sannyas order of life? He says, Ami Balak. He says, I'm only a Balak, like we say, Chalak Balak. Balak, Bali Lila means from birth till five. So he's like 5 years old, like I was saying. He's only 5 years old when Vishwarup took sannyas. Now his brother comes in dream and says, come on, let's go. Five is old enough. Take sannyas. So then he says, Grihastahaya iya kariba pitta matarasevan ihatehi tushtad haben Lakshmi Narayana Narayana. Later, I shall become a householder and thus serve my parents. For this action, I will very much satisfy Lord Narayan and his wife, the goddess of fortune. Tabe visharupa ihan pate ilamore matake kahio koti namaskare. Then Vishwarup took me home and he requested, offer thousands and thousands of obeisances to Sachi Mata. E Mata Nana Lila Kare Gorahari Ki Kare Na Lila Iha Bujite Napori. In this way Mahaprabhu performed various pastimes, but why he did, I cannot understand. So even Krishna's Kaviraj is explaining that it's very difficult to understand the Lord's pastimes. But we try to take whatever instruction we can from this. There's many things being told here. This is the pastime of Vishwarup Sannyas. And tomorrow we'll read about the pastime of Gauranga empowers Nakula Brahmachari. Very exciting pastime. So in this pastime, the elder brother Vishwarup heard that his parents were planning to marry him. And he said, oh, okay, it's about time to go. Then he left and took sannyas. And then he appeared in some vision or dream to Balak or Balagor. Like we have Balagopal, we also have Balagor. Balagor and Balagopal. Sometimes we say Gor Gopal. There's one boy who's a son of, what's his name? Gopi Pranadan. His name is Gor Gopal. So this is, Vishrup said, why don't you come with me? Leave this place. Get out of this place. Leave this home and come with me and take sannyas. And then Nimai, as a young boy, he's telling him in the dream that I have my mother and father and I had to take care of them. And if I take care of them, Narayan will be very pleased. Because it says in Bhagavad Gita and also in Puranas that it's the duty of one, he should serve his superiors. He should serve his superiors like the mother and father. So often the parents of young brahmacharis in India, when young men join the temple, they say, look, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, you should serve superiors like your mother and father. Why are you joining the temple? And what about me? But that's early on in the Bhagavad Gita. Because later Krishna says, forget about your mother and father. Sarva dharman prityaja. Because this is only dharma. This is a dharma consideration. But Gita is teaching the ultimate dharma, which is love of God. And this surpasses all rules and regulations of any varna or any ashram. So the parents want to quote something, just like in the yoga societies, they quote something from fifth chapter or sixth chapter and say, listen, Krishna says in Gita, you should stare at the tip of your nose and meditate in a lonely place and do Ashtanga yoga. Because Krishna says it in the Bhagavad Gita. But that's in fifth chapter. You can't just take out part of the book and make a conclusion. If you want to establish Siddhanta, you have to present the entirety of the book. What does he say in the beginning? What does he say in the middle? What does he say in the end? And what is his main idea? What is the theme and conclusion of the book? Then you can say, this is what Krishna is teaching in Gita. This is this is his intention. Because this is why he's writing this book. So ultimately Krishna's intention in Bhagavad Gita is, you all become devotees. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyajima namaskaru. Mame vaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, offer your respects and everything, offer whatever you have to me, and you'll become very dear to me, and you'll come to me. So this is the teaching of Gita. This verse he says twice in two different places, 18th chapter and 9th chapter. So we have to be careful when we quote scriptures. They have a phrase in India, the devil quoting scripture. Even the devil quotes the Bible. The devil says, listen, the Bible says. So we have to be very careful when we quote the scriptures. So Nimai Pandit was saying, well, listen, Vishrup, if I serve my mother and father, Narayan will be pleased. Because it's a fact. If someone takes care of their mother and father, it's called Mata Seva. That's what he says, Mata Sevana. Mata Seva, Pita Seva. It is very pleasing to Vishnu. But that's all within the category of Varnashram Dharma. In the 8th chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya are speaking. And Lord Chaitanya says, how can one attain the goal of life? How can one attain the perfection of life? And then Ramananda Roy says, by following the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma, taking care of your mother and father, this is very pleasing to Narayan. These are the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma. When Lord Chaitanya heard that, he said, Age koro, bahir hai. He said, this is external. Age koro, go further. So Chaitanya rejected Varnashram Dharma. So for bhakti, for pure bhakti, we also reject, ultimately, these rules and regulations, if they get in the way of Krishna's service and surrender to Krishna. Because this is the ultimate dharma and the perfection of life.